As we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, ladies and gents. We got another great stunt performer in the industry. We've got Brendan Swan here with us today. His credits include Into the Badlands and Vikings. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely, thank you. So, what's good? How did you get to where you are today?
primarily into the stunt work, is it?
Yeah.
Well, let me see. I've been a martial artist my whole life. So I started from the age of 4 and going from many different types of styles of martial arts. And then I got into acting at a young age, not major, a bit of theater work and small time TV stuff. And an agency got onto me and asked me, they're looking for martial artists to work for Into the Badlands. Would I be game ball for it? So, yeah, myself and my brothers actually went in to audition for it. So the whole family, there's 5 of us, 4 boys and 1 girl, and she's the toughest out of all of us. And
nice.
Yeah, she's badass. And the 3 of us went up and we auditioned and we all got a part on it.
Sweet.
Yeah, no, it was a great gig. We got about 3 or 4 days worth of fighting on it. And then I got quite close with the coordinator and the assistant coordinator. So it was Pete Miles, who was the action coordinator. And then there's a fellow called Ray Nick, a great Scouse guy that was kind of assistant coordinator to and kind of looking after all the martial artists on that side of it. And then they were kind of asking me, you know, what was my background? And because they said they saw that I was quite capable of doing a lot of the scenes that the stunt guys were doing. So I went through my portfolio of what I could do and what weapons I could use as well. And then I think after a couple of days, I got a phone call from Pete and asking me to kind of jump on board for the stunt crew. And then we had a small movie. We had a movie lined up afterwards in between shoots and asked me if I could work on that as well. So to be quite honest, I'm very, very lucky. It was a kind of right place, right time kind of thing. And oh yeah, I've got a little cat here. So I'll try to jump in and get some showtime. But yeah, I was just very, very lucky at the time. And then I wanted to take the stunt work more seriously as well. So I went and done a lot of stunt training with a lot of the guys here. So there's a couple
here
of
in Ireland.
Sorry, say it again.
Here in Ireland,
yeah. So it's broken up into different factions, you could say. So you got the Stunt Guild, and then you've got the Register as well. So there's a lot of these different kind of places that you can work with. And with the guild, I went and I worked with Brendan Condren there. Fantastic guy. And we done a lot of like my high falls and fighting with weapons and stuff like that. And then because there's a huge difference between as a martial artist working with weapons and trying to hit somebody with them, or being like, if you're doing a kata or something like that, or, you know, it's more of a performance. But fighting for movies is a completely different ball game. So I had to kind of relearn how to not hit anybody, but to look as if I was hitting anybody, and to kind of show me where camera positioning is and how important that was.
So kind of like a stage combat kind of.
Oh, absolutely.
Hit me, but don't make me feel
the punch. So a lot more over exaggerated movements were involved. So I'm doing a lot more training involved in that now, because of the Vikings background and Valhalla. So, to be quite honest, I was just very, very fortunate. They recognized that I had a little bit of talent towards it, and then I was very, very lucky. They took me on board, and Pete Miles is a fantastic guy, a great coordinator, very, very easy to work with. And once his kind of motto is, you know, like, always give the new guy a little bit of a push, and, you know, he's not always biased to his crew. If he sees somebody with a little bit more talent as well, he'll give them a chance. And he's like, always let some new people on with a bit of chance. And I was very humbled working with him. And I think it's a lovely way to work with new talent, because unfortunately, a lot of coordinators, I suppose, how do I say this nicely? They would kind of stick to their own crew. So, not give other people a shot. You know, you kind of, it's very clicky, a very clicky business, a wonderful business, but it can be quite clicky. And I'm not quite fond of that. So I'm an independent stunt performer.
Yeah, I got to let some new faces in eventually, as opposed to just, you know, copy and paste.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. And there's loads of new talent out there as well. And Ireland is just, it's a booming, booming country now, because, like, when I started growing up in the martial arts game, there was only a certain amount of styles here in Ireland. So, like, when I first started off, it was your Shotokan karate. Then I got into ninjutsu, then taekwondo. And then I was doing that for a couple of years, and then one or two styles of kung fu came in. So then I'd done my Lung Ying, which is a dragon-style kung fu, and Choi Le Fa, and Tai Chi then. And then we went on to a wushu. But it was gradually years and years of adapting these new styles. And it's fantastic now that you can see these kids coming in. And there's just an abundance of martial arts schools now. And they can try out new things and learn new things. And it's just, it's a wonderful time to get into the business now.
That's great. What was other parts of the history that kind of made you realize they were making a lot of groundbreaking, you know, renovations to the industry?
Of the what, sorry?
What new groundbreaking material did you also realize was happening in the stunt industry there?
Well, Ireland is actually a fantastic place for filming, because we're so green and we've got a lot of studios, but also new studios opening up. So we had the Game of Thrones studios, and that's up in the north. And then we have down here in more of the southern part, we've got two studios now, and that's where the Badlands and the Vikings and Valhalla. I'm sure everybody would think that Ireland is quite lush and quite vast. So a lot of different types of shows can be filmed here. And it's quite affordable for them to come over here and work with us. So a lot of people will bring, like, a lot of British and American coordinators would have their set amount of stunt people that they'd have with them. So they'd be their main crew. And then we'll work a lot with the Irish crew that we have here. But, like, over here, like, it's just anything is possible. Like, you've seen some of the episodes of Game of Thrones where it's unbelievable what can be done here now. And especially now, it's not just action that can be done, but a lot more martial arts can be involved as well, because we've got a huge amount and diverse actors and martial artists and stunt performers here as well. So it's very easy for them to come over to Ireland now and get the kind of look that they want or the performance that they want, rather than if it was about 15 years ago, it'd be just a typical Irish looking guy. But now that we've got such a more diverse lot of people here in Ireland, it's, you can get anything here, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. You learn, you're meeting so many more new performers, new actors, and it's a great spot to be in.
I've noticed that as well. Many would talk about how they basically had way more opportunity just as a result of being in the stunt industry. They could be a featured stuntman. They could be training someone. Either way, they were never in shortage of work.
Yeah.
Just by being a fitness guru, you know.
It helps. You know, like I've been in the fitness industry as well for nearly 20 years, kind of showing my age. Oh,
nice. Did you do any training like for others that were like part of a gym membership or anything?
Yeah, well, I'm a strength and conditioning coach as well as a nutritionist. And I studied under a chap called Charles Poliquin, who was probably one of the best strength and conditioning coaches going. Now, God bless him. He died not too long. He passed away not too long ago. But we've got fantastic tutors here as well. We got a place called the ISI, which is the Irish Strength Institute. And we got a guy called Owen Lacey, who's another world speaker in nutrition and in strength performance as well. So what's great is that we've got a lot of fantastic people here now in this little country that we have that's being pushed out, and we're doing talks all over the world, basically, in all different aspects of the health, whether it's martial arts or if it's resistance training, if it's rehab, if it's diet, nutritional, hormonal issues. So that's kind of where I would step in. Is I've done a lot of rehab with people. I've done primarily strength and sports performance, and then obviously the nutrition aspect of it as well. My partner is a strength and conditioning coach and a nutritionist as well. So the two of us, she's mad into the more healthier eating aspect of it. So it's always good that way, that she keeps me well fed. But it's just like I've helped train a good few of the performers as well. So I've had a lot of the stunt guys come in to me from Vikings and Valhalla, because it's very important to stay in shape as well. And that was kind of one of the main things that the Americans and the British were very strong on. You'd always see them on their Instagram or Facebook, and they'd be showing pictures of them doing their training or doing the acrobatics or the martial arts and stuff like that. And it was Ireland at the start was quite slow at showing our talents. And that's probably why it was a little slow starting off, to see how talented we were. But I think it's fantastic. The industry
was midway changing. Meanwhile, you guys were growing as people and still demonstrating. So yeah, it's kind of just all transitioning together.
Yeah. No, it's everything's falling into place now, you know. And it's as I said, it's a great place to be in at the moment. Like Valhalla finished at the end of the first season, finished at the end of last year, and then it'll start picking up again the second quarter this year for filming as well, you know. So there's always an opportunity for work here, and if the coordinator recognizes that you work hard and you're good at what you do, they'll obviously give you more chances, you know. So that was a great thing about Richie Ryan and his lovely wife Kelly, is that they will always give somebody a chance, and if they see that they're good and they're passionate about it, they'll allow them to keep going. But you know, some people think, oh, now I'm a stuntman, I'm after getting my first job and I'm my first day in. And if you're kind of lax with it, that's it, you're out, you know. So that's what I admire and love about them as well, especially about these British coordinators as well, is that they will give you a chance, but you better pull your socks up and put the work in as well, because, you know, there's a big queue there could be 50 to 100 guys that want that job. So, you know, you have to stay in shape because they're long days. They're long days. You could be starting at, be on set for, depending, it could be 4 or 5 a.m. and you may be leaving 6, 7, 8, depending.
Right. Why risk it? You don't know. You don't know when you'll be next fed or anything, you know?
Well, even Oh, yeah. Because, you know, like anything else, it all depends on lighting. It all depends on the time of day, how the stunt is going. And then, of course, how big the stunt is as well. So if there's a huge battle scene, like the last week that we were filming Vikings, it was like the one battle scene took 10 days to film. And there was just so much. It was an exhausting amount, 10 days, but a fantastic amount. Like the guys that have... Sorry, go on.
Have you ever had anyone who's basically they just got back from like lunch or dinner break and now they have to actually do a scene which would involve them basically getting punched in the stomach or anything? I knew someone who did that on one show.
Oh, really? Yeah.
On, and I was just like, well... You could have had the personal assistant, you know, just give you some lunch and eat an after the fact. But he also think the director wasn't a fan of him. So he just didn't tell him, by the way, you're going to eat and you're prepared to lose your lunch. You're going to get slugged.
Yeah. I'd say it probably helped sell the scene a lot more as well. You see, half Jim coming up as well, you know. But to be quite honest, like a lot of times you're given a certain amount of time to eat your lunch, but like that last week as well, like there was just so much to do. Like, I think we had like,
you're going to lose track.
Extras. Yeah. There was 400 extras. There was 100 stunt performers as well.
On Vikings. Nice.
On Vikings at the time. And it was just so, and we had like explosions. We had a lot of firework as well. So a lot of people getting put on fire. And a lot of horse falls. So there was just so much to get. And not only that, like, if you've ever watched a show or anything that's kind of like, I've worked on The Last Duel as well, or if you see stuff like
that. I was going to ask that. How did that opportunity come along?
Yeah, so I got a call from one of the coordinators on it. Florian Robin, this guy is unbelievable. He's like a ninja. He's a French stunt coordinator.
Sweet.
And so he would have heard from me from my Vikings work. And he goes, look, we're having an audition for the movie. We want to see what you can do. And I was obviously over the moon. It's a Ridley Scott movie. You're not going to say no to a Ridley Scott movie. And, you know, working with phenomenal actors on it, you know. So I went up, and a lot of us went up for a lot of us actually from the Vikings crew got a few calls up. And like I said, what was great was that I'm not affiliated with any of the guilds or whatever. So it was quite nice to be to see that a little bit of my work was paid off, that I got the call to go and audition for it. And luckily they liked what they saw and they gave me an opportunity. And that was a fantastic opportunity, because not only did we have a ridiculous amount of Irish guys there, but we had British guys there. We had Scottish guys there. We had the Bulgarians. Like, it was just a huge mashup of stunt performers. And I think the great thing about the Irish is that, you know, once you all come in, we're all kind of like a family. So everybody was just straight in, and we cut out all the bull and just had the crack with everybody. Because at the start, you know, people can be a little bit
moody.
Are they better than me, or they're going to get more screen time than me or whatever? And then after about a day or two, they just knew that we're just there for the crack and just to work, just like everybody else.
Right.
And we've worked with a good few of the Bulgarians before. So I've worked with a good few of them on Badlands. And those lads are not human. The stuff that they can do. It's you want to see these guys. They're indestructible. It's like watching 500 Robocops. And then I was working a good bit with Vlad Furdnik. He was on Game of Thrones. He's the the ice guy, the ice zombie king fella.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice. And without the makeup, still kind of looks the same. So quite an intimidating character. But just a gentle guy, just really, really nice. And it's nice to be working with someone that's been in the industry for over 25, 30 years, because it's always good to keep an open mind, because there's always going to be someone out there that's going to know more, or another way of acting or reacting in front of the camera, or another way of doing this. Because like with the Vikings style of fighting and Valhalla style of fighting, it's quite similar, which is fantastic, because you're going in knowing what way to work. And then when you have another coordinator coming in for another movie that may look the same, but they might want a different way of fighting in front of the camera. So it's good to get working with a couple of veterans in the business as well, and just have their point of view. I find that it can be a killer in the business if you're going in thinking you're the business, thinking that I'm a stuntman now, so I don't need to talk to anybody, or I don't need to listen to anybody, or how dare he give me a bit of advice. Oh my God, you see it. It's unbelievable. You see it. And I'm going, like, these kids coming in their you know, early 20s, and I'm going, Jesus Christ, you should be an open book. You should be listening to anybody that's willing to offer a little bit of advice.
I know everything. Describe some of them as unorganized kind of athletes at times? They're not thinking with their head. They're just thinking with their body, you know?
Pretty much. Yeah. I suppose it's in any business or any performer.
Totally.
It's always good to listen to someone that's a bit more of a veteran in there. I love meeting someone that's been in it so much, because I'm fascinated in what way they've worked or what they've worked in. And maybe I could pick up one or two tips on what they've done, because it doesn't matter how many years I've been in the business, there's always going to be someone there longer and has more experience and has another way of teaching me something. You know, like, I would see anybody that's a veteran as a possible teacher in anything, whether it's in my martial arts or whether it's in my personal training or strength performance, or whether it's in nutrition or whether it's in the stunt work. You know, if someone's willing to offer you advice and it's free advice, open your bloody ears and listen.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you mentioned also just finding inspiration and everything. What does inspire you? What do you say prior to just, you know, hanging out with many intriguing talents?
Intriguing. So what does inspire me in the...
Just in general, yeah, you know, life.
In life, or, yeah. I suppose. What does inspire me? Well, in the fitness industry, I suppose what would inspire me is I've always worked out, as in I've always been physically active. it's tough saying it. I'm hitting 40 next week.
Oh, wow.
So it's not nice. But the way I look at it is 40 now, considering 40, 10, 15, 20 years ago, is a huge difference. That, like, my whole thing was, I'm not a big drinker. I don't really drink. I don't smoke. Mm-hmm. Never done anything other than that. You know, I've always kind of worked out, and my family are all the same. We're big kind of, as my friends call us, we're all fitness freaks in the family. But my whole thing was the idea of seeing somebody that was in their 50s or whatever, and they've got shoulder injuries, or they've got back in and they can't walk. I want to be as athletic as I can be and do what I enjoy doing or I love doing for as long as possible. So that's probably one of my major things that inspires me to stay active and stay fit and keep working out. It's not for vanity reasons. It's just to prolong what I'm doing now and what I enjoy doing. So if I'm working out and I'm hitting the bag, or if I'm doing jiu-jitsu or whatever it is that I'm doing, that's all going to apply to my work as a stunt performer down the road. You know, so what I do is I meet up with a couple of guys during the week, and we'll go through regards if it's fighting or if it's with weapons or whatever. We'll stay on top of that. So even when I'm not filming, it's always good to hone your skills, so you're not going in rusty or you're not going in cold to a filming. So at least they can go, okay, Brent, let's come up with a couple of routines. But you've already been doing it constantly before you're filming again, so you can come up with something easier. Or I'm not doing a long fight scene and I'm out of breath because I wasn't working out.
That's so great. Do all this outlining ahead of time instead of, you know, during the middle of it. And then next thing you know, you got to rush some of it just to make sure you meet the deadline. Oh, even though you find out half the stuff you tried out wouldn't work for that scene or isn't what the talents are looking for. And that's so cool that you're making use of every minute, just testing out your theories and fight choreography.
Yeah, no, it's so important to keep up the skills rather than go, grand, I worked on this movie. I've got a few bob in the bank now, so I'm just kind of sitting on my laurels, which is fine to do for a time. I'm not saying just constantly work out and constantly do this and do that. I wouldn't put my way of life on anybody. But I would always recommend, anyway, just a couple of times a week, keeping your skills nice and fresh. Whether you're more of a stunt performer on horses, let's say, they would go out and they would be on the horses 2-3 times a week. Or like me, if it's more fighting, I would still work my bag or keep up with my routines or sword work. Or I'm a specific size as well. So I'd be nearly 17 stone. So it's in my work, I'm kind of I'm a stereotype for the bad guy.
Right.
I get a lot of work as the bad guy or who gets killed or whatever, you know, the big Mongo fella. So I would always try and stay in shape for that because I'm typecast nearly as that. So like the gear that I would wear will be bigger than the majority. I can't just kind of fit into what the other stunt crews are wearing, because when I have the armor on and I might have a small bit of padding on, I'd look a lot bigger, you know. But that's my passion as well, is to keep working out. So I do prehab, so I don't have any injuries. So I don't need to rehab any injuries, because like when you're doing sword work and shield work constantly, you can pick up injuries with your shoulders or your rotator cuff or your hip or your back, because you're smacking lads all the time, you're smacking shields all the time, you're getting hit, you're falling off horses. So it's very simple, I should say, to pick up injuries. But that's the most important part of being a stunt performer, is to not get injured, to learn how to fall off something and then apply a roll to that, or to learn how to take a hit or to take a punch or to take a kick and not kind of take too much damage from it. All you want to do is to sell the stunt, not actually, you know, go home from a day's work with a few cracked ribs and a broken nose, you know. Yeah. No one's winning from that. Maybe the cinematographer will go, happy days, that looks great. But nobody's winning from that. You can't be used then. If you're going home and you've got so many injuries, you can't work for a couple of days, or God forbid, a couple of weeks, you know. So it's in your best interest to keep honing your skills so you don't pick up injuries and you can still sell the stunt without dealing with damage, I suppose.
Absolutely. So you've been fortunate enough, again, to be able to work what you already love doing.
Yeah.
Make a living and everything. Do you have any other pointers? And aside from just, you know, your wonderful take on how everyone needs to stop, listen, and soak up the info. Do you have any other just advice that you just want to share with everyone trying to get into this dangerous lifestyle?
Yeah. In this business as well, it's a fantastic business. You can meet fantastic people, fantastic brothers and sisters, I'd say, stunt brothers and sisters in this. They're like family, the majority of them. It's just like seeing a best friend or a brother that you haven't seen in ages when you meet up on a set. It's wonderful. But at the end of the day, if you get hurt, you can't work anymore. If you don't get picked for, because there's 300 or 400 people there, you may just not get picked for that part or that stunt or that role. So I would always recommend having a side hustle, having another job and something else that you could work at the start anyway. If it's great if you get on and you're in the main stunt crew, and then that's it. That's your job. You're a full-time stunt performer. But when you're starting off, if you can afford it, great. Because like before you get picked to do majority of stunt work, you have to put thousands of euro into training for this. You can't. I was very fortunate that because I had a certain amount of skill that I was picked, but I didn't just sit on my laurels and go, okay, grand, I'm brilliant. I'm a martial artist, the next Van Damme, happy days. They think I'm brilliant. I went, no, this is what I need to learn. I need to learn another way of fighting so I can sell it and sell myself, because I need to sell me. I am my own product. I need to sell what I can do. So if I'm adding more to my list of what I can do, okay, so I can do high falls now, or I can do work in the water, or I can do burns, or I can do rigging. There's a lot of things to add to that. But again, there's a lot of cost onto this. So there's fantastic schools all over the world that will teach people how to be stunt performers. But it is a big investment in it. So I would recommend starting off, let's say, part-time and see how you get on with that. But I've seen a lot of people that try and go full-time in it and be quite discouraged when they're not getting the callbacks, you know? Right. Like I myself at the start, I was doing great for a while, and then it was like 7-8 months before I got another call for something. Because of my size, I can't just fit into normal things, you know?
Right.
And now, luckily, I've been quite fortunate, so I do get a call to do a majority of stuff. But again, it could be a couple of months, it could be a year before you could get another call because there's so many people in the business. So I would always recommend just have a little side hustle there. Like I'm a carpenter as well, so I have a family business. It's myself and my father would be carpentry. So I do carpentry, I'm a strength coach as well, and I do the stunt work as well. So I'd always keep myself busy because I got a family as well to support for. So I can't just go, oh, it's my dream to work in the movie business, so I'm just going to put all that to the side and just keep focusing on that. And then what do you do if you don't get calls, you know? Quite stressful.
Right? Mm. Doesn't just happen overnight.
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. No, this is years. You have to work on it for years. So I'm a couple of years in the business. So I'm luckily, I'm fortunate enough that I know a lot of people that, you know, would put me forward for work. It certainly didn't start off like that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you ever so much for being on here. This was an absolute delight. Just have another inspirational story.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. Any future projects you want to promote before we go?
There's not much that I can say on some stuff, but it's just be working on Valhalla again.
The Vikings spinoff. Nice.
Okay. It's the Vikings spinoff. So that's coming on to Netflix. Netflix bought that. So that's coming on. I think that's going to start showing next month, I believe. Sweet. So start watching that. It's just as good or could even be better than Vikings. We'll see how that goes. It's a phenomenal show, a phenomenal show. And as I said, it's the same coordinators and everything that we had going on to Vikings. So you can expect epic battle scenes. And it's just like anything else. We're just going to try and push the envelope that a little bit more to make it bigger and bolder. So watch the space.
Absolutely.
We'll return after these messages.
JURRS Podcast is proud to promote AutoCorrect, an independent film company with experienced industry professionals who can serve all your film industry needs. They include self-tapes, voice actor recordings, demo reel editing, script revisions, headshots, and much more. They're AutoCorrect at your request. Book them on Instagram.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, tin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
The next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest defenses, disappointed in it.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it.
I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that.
Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of
it. Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept popping up.
Little history doll popping up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie. How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach, and we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
Greetings, friends. My name is Dean Legiro, and I'm the host of the 3324 Podcast. I invite you to join me and my lifelong friend Eric Huber to come with us as we discuss the music and movies that shaped our life. Each week, we'll pick an album or film that we really connect to, and not only give you some great info and trivia, but also discuss, debate, and celebrate what it means to us and the journey it took us on. We also look forward to hearing from you and giving us some of your picks for us to check out and discuss. I think it'll be a really fun experience, so come along with us for the ride. You can find us on your favorite podcast provider, and at 3324.buzzsprout.com. Thanks for your time, and welcome to the 3324 family.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones, too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh, yeah. Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous boobies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy
at EILFM.podbean.com.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a